In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
Well, it's good to see all of you. I know the snow blocked a lot of us in, or people have been sick, honestly. So if you don't see somebody here today, or haven't seen him in a while, reach out to him. Give him a call. Check on him. How are you doing? How are you feeling? I want to share a story with you. This is a real, true life story. It's like an old Reader's Digest, right? Many years ago, shortly after Matushka and I were married, I was working at a motorcycle shop. And it wasn't a very big motorcycle shop. I was a parts manager, which meant that I managed the parts because there's no one else. I was the only guy in the department. And one day this guy came in and he was livid. He was fit to be tied. He was so angry. He had brought his motorcycle in and he had it worked on. And somehow something went wrong. And he spent a lot of money getting this thing fixed. Now, the mechanic there was a very capable, responsible guy. Whatever happened was an oversight. He was very apologetic. He said, bring your bike in. I'll drop what I'm doing, and I'll fix it right now. Guy brought his bike in, fixed it, went off in a huff. The next day, we're standing there, and the guy pulls up again. And we're looking through the window going, oh, boy. Oh, geez. The guy gets out, comes in, and he says, you know, I'm sorry for getting angry at you guys yesterday. You're doing your best here. Please forgive me. I shouldn't have treated you that way. That was wrong. Thank you for fixing my motorcycle. Of course, we were stunned. And so I looked at the guy and I said, so what church do you go to? And true story. Because we were able to tell by his actions, without any sort of external bumper sticker or prayer rope on his arm or, you know, changing his profile photo on Facebook, I knew who he was. And it's very easy to say all the right things, to look the right way, to have all the terms down and talk about Hezekiah and Nepsis and the fathers and all these things. It's easy to put a banner on your social media. I stand with so-and-so. I always like to joke, I stand with my feet. You know, that's how I stand. I don't know about you. But we like to put that all out there. We like to virtue signal, let people know why I support this thing. I'm for this and I'm against that, and you need to do this and you need to do that, and this is good and this is wrong. But we're wasting our time. You can do that if you want. I'm not going to stop you. I can't stop you. But you're wasting your time. Because we're not going to be judged by what we signal to people. We're not going to be judged by our bumper sticker or our t-shirt or who we say we're in allegiance to. We will be judged by what we do, by how we live our lives. Then we're faced with this question. Do I live a Christian life? You know, I think about this analogy. I might love medicine. Say hypothetically I do. I don't, but let's say I did. Let's say I love medicine. I watch all the medical TV shows. I talk in all the medical terms. I think of myself as a doctor type person. That doesn't make me a doctor. You become a firefighter when you fight fires. You become a doctor when you heal people. What you are is based on what you do. You know, remember the parable of the son, the two sons that Christ talked about. The son who said he would and did, and the son who said he wouldn't and did. The son who said he wouldn't help the father but end up doing it in the end was the one who was righteous. So I want to ask everyone here a question. It's a hard question, but I do that, don't I? I promise you I'll do a really fluff sermon one of these days. It'll be all fun and we'll be happy. If you were to be put on trial today for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Or as soon as you walk out that door and Father Peter's not around and all the other people at church aren't around, do you suddenly become someone else? And those people at your work, do they know you're a Christian without you ever once saying the name of Jesus? Those people at your school, those people that you know, your neighbors, where they say, man, that man's a Christian. Or if you come to them later and they find out you're a Christian, they're not surprised. Like, yeah, I figured as much. You know, so-and-so is definitely a Christian. They forgive, they're kind, they're merciful, they're charitable. They feed the poor, they clothe the naked, they visit the imprisoned. They're patient, they're kind. They're not given to lewdness and the things of this world. Instead, they live a different life. And I always wondered what was off about them, what was wonderful about them. And now I know they're a Christian. It all makes sense. And so here on the Sunday of the Last Judgment, by the way, it's the Last Judgment. So it, by the fact that it's the last one, it implies there were other judgments before it. There are other times in our lives when we are judged based on how we live. And those judgments come to us to remind us that we need to live a Christian life. We need to live that life that St. James talks about, that's unspotted by the world. Be different. And I'm not talking about Apple, like, you know, Steve Jobs, be, you know, think differently. Be differently. Be a different person than everyone else. Be like Christ. Now, it's true that we will give an account for everything we say, but our final judgment, the last judgment, the judgment at the coming of God, the Son of Man, who opens up the heavens and the entire heavens are revealed to the world. You notice he says that the heavens were open and the entire host of heaven came with him. That means the barrier between heaven and earth was torn open and he revealed himself to the entire world, to all the nations. When that day comes, we will be judged by what we've done in our lives. Do we live the commandments of Christ? Do we love our neighbor by giving of ourselves to them? Are we a neighbor to those we meet just as the Good Samaritan was? We're all very quiet now. Thank God there's Christ. He helps save us. Because too often we don't live the Christian life. Too often we live lives that are indistinguishable by everyone else. You couldn't tell us out in the crowd. You know, when the Diocletian persecution, they would come and they would say, oh, you know, they're just like everyone else. They act just like everyone else. They talk like everyone else. They think like everyone else. They're not a Christian. Let them live. And even though we do not live the Christian life, and this is a very sombering thing to contemplate, to examine ourselves and say, do I live like a Christian? There's hope. There's always hope. I'll share something with you. I don't always wear my cassock everywhere I go. When I go get my hair cut, I don't wear my cassock, okay? I don't like hair in my collar of my cassock. I wear a t-shirt, and I've asked myself, if that person finds out that I'm a priest, are they going to be shocked? Or are they going to go, oh, okay, that makes sense. That applies to everyone here. It's not just for priests. You're all Christians. I'm a Christian first, and I'm a priest as a Christian. I am a follower of Christ. And because I'm a follower of Christ, because we are followers of Christ, we commit ourselves to put Christ first in our lives. He was always first. I appreciate the words of Father Isaac last night. And he talked about that. And it was God's providence. We didn't coordinate that, by the way. That was, you know, I like to think it's the Holy Spirit. We always put Christ first in our lives. We choose to get up every morning and ask God to help us to love him by obeying his commandments. He says, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. He didn't say, if you love me, you'll just say that you're a Christian. You know, it's not that easy as saying a word, pledge of allegiance to God, and suddenly you're in with the in crowd and you go to heaven and you get to live in mansions forever. You have to live it. There has to be evidence of it. Come to church, if you can get through the snow, right? And you're not almost dead in bed with a sickness. Come to church. Pray your prayers, receive the Eucharist frequently, and struggle just a little bit more. Struggle just a little bit more. Just do a little bit more today than you did yesterday. It's very rare in the Christian life where people are saved by a road to Damascus moment like it was for Paul, where he saw Jesus Christ. It's a very amazing thing. I don't want to go on a tangent, but he said today in his epistle, I saw the risen Lord Jesus Christ. He saw him in prayer. That doesn't happen for all of us. We don't have these huge transformational moments. The Christian life is day by day, moment by moment, choosing to love God above all else, to put him first in our lives, to be a Christian, to live as a Christian in a world that is dying. And if this is really important too. If you fall down, get back up. You know, we're not... You will be judged by how you repent and not by how you sin. Saints are sinners who repent. Get back up. Try again. If you failed yesterday, do better today. Try. Commit yourself to it. Put your shoulder to the plow, your nose to the grindstone, and get it done. And above all, ask Christ to help you make the right the wrong that you have committed. If you fall down, run to Christ. Lord, forgive me. Help me to do better. Help me to be more like you in this world. Let your light shine in me so that they may glorify our Father who is in heaven. And if we can do this, my friends, if we can just try a little bit more every day, then when Christ returns in his glory, when the entire host of heaven accompany him, we won't be scared. It will be a moment of rejoicing. We will rejoice to see him. And the fullness of everything that we'd hoped for, everything that we struggled for, every prayer, every prostration, every bit of food we didn't eat, every bit of media we didn't consume, everything we didn't drink, every time we came to church and we were tired, every time we forgave that person who was awful to us, all of that will come together as he stands in front of us and we will be overjoyed. It's going to happen. And in that moment, he will welcome us into his kingdom to share in his glory and to take a place of honor at his right hand. And I will end with this, my friends. Remember the difference between the sheep and the goat. If you ever see a goat, they're pretty brutal. They have rough hair. I think they're cute, but they're kind of ruffians. If you turn your back on them, they'll butt you. So they'll run up and hit you. It's happened many times to me when I was growing up. Sheep are gentle. They are kind. They follow the shepherd. They can be led around. They can be taught. They can be trained. They can be shepherded into a safe place and a place of nurturing and food and water. Whereas goats just run around and climb up on rocks and chew through things and destroy everything. Don't be a goat. Be a sheep. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.